Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I'm your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And look, I have a co-host already. Yay. Good evening.
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
I am well. How are you, Karen?
I'm pretty good. Thank you. Got out of town for a couple days for the first time. I was out of town for a couple days for Christmas, but, you know, this is, like, only the second time in a year that I've driven more than, like, an hour in the car. It's kind of weird to, like, do normal things and drive a car, and, like, there was, like, a lot of traffic on the Jersey Turnpike, like, a 20-minute backup, a pre-pandemic level of backup on the turnpike.
You know? I hadn't really thought about it, but the farthest I've gone since the pandemic started was to the airport when I picked Junie up, which was an hour away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was no traffic.
You know.
Yeah. And there was no traffic then because nobody was on the roads. I got to say, that's one thing about the pandemic I actually kind of miss a little now that things are getting somewhat back to normal, is when it first hit, I didn't stop working. And after work, there was no traffic. It was great. I could go anywhere I wanted. There was nobody on the road.
Yeah.
Right? But anyway.
I was like, what are all these people doing on the turnpike? So, yeah.
Hello, Jamie.
So what are we talking about? Hello. Why are we
talking
about driving on the turnpike?
We're talking about my little weekend getaway and the traffic.
Oh.
Go ahead, AJ.
You went, what, to see your family, right? Or am I wrong?
Did, and we were just talking about, you know, like, how things are getting a little normal, and I was in a big traffic jam on the Jersey Turnpike, and how, like, pre-pandemic traffic is returning.
Oh, that's
like,
not good. Don't say that.
Like, there's been nobody on the roads for 12 months, because nobody went anywhere, you know? So it is good. It's a good sign, I guess.
People are also spending, I think this week or whatever, a lot of people were spending their checks too. You know,
How about
stimulus checks? So
yeah, before, and you know, it was a holiday,
part of it.
But I think, you know, we're getting, you know, in a few months now, maybe, or, you know, by the end of the year, I'm going to have a life again and be like, oh my God, do I have time to watch all the TV? Now I'm like, oh, I got to watch 5 shows for this podcast. No big deal.
Yeah,
I can't go anywhere or do anything. So
a lot of free time.
And we do. I think we have 5 shows tonight, right?
We do.
Yes, quite a lot.
Yeah, we had 5 shows because Manifest is back.
Manifest is back.
So without further ado, I'm sure you love it. Ladies would love to talk about The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead season finale.
Okay. Oh, season finale.
Yep. Yeah, and AJ, FYI, the title of the episode was Here's Negan, and it was...
it's the Negan episode. Wait.
Yeah.
So the finale is the Negan episode.
Yes, it's the Negan flashback episode.
I think the Negan episode would be interesting because it'd probably, you know, give you a little bit of his backstory. But the funny thing I feel like is, it doesn't really feel like a season finale. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, that's like a middle of the season. That's a middle of the season type episode. But anyway.
You're right. And I think, Jamie, you were pointing out that this is sort of like the extra season finale, right? Like because of COVID, they gave us these sort of one or two person episodes.
Gotcha.
The
extra stuff.
You're right. You're right. It's not really like a season finale during a normal season. It's like the COVID season finale where you can't have any two actors within 6 feet of each other kind of episode.
Yeah.
So it really is only loosely based in Negan's origin story in the comic book. Other than the fact of the wife dying of cancer, it really is, and the basic beats of his personality, it really... takes that as a starting point and gives us a whole scenario that didn't happen in the comic book. So, Jamie, how'd you like this episode?
Well, I was surprised because I thought that, I mean, I knew that he couldn't be redeemed, but I felt like they were going to at least try to make me feel like he could be redeemed. I mean, I felt bad for him, what happened, but, like, I in no way felt that bad for him, I guess. Like, even remotely that bad for him. I mean, everybody in the apocalypse has shitty stories of things that happened. And the thing is it wasn't like, I don't know, like, it wasn't like something happened per se to him. Like, to begin with, her dying was horrible, but, like, kind of what happened to him in a way was really his wife's fault because she killed herself and wouldn't wait for him. I mean, I understand that he didn't want to stay with her and live the rest of her life with him because he couldn't give up. And, you know, people look at it different. She wanted him to stay there, and what she did was horrible to him. But I don't see how that in any way – like, I can totally understand when he went, he killed those people that kept him from getting to his wife, because if he'd kept there in time, maybe she would have been alive. I totally get that. I mean, not that it's okay to kill people. But, I mean, the fact that he killed those bad guys – which, by the way, that one guy was Scully's worst friend in Exiles. But anyway, the fact that he killed them, that I get. But, like, after that made him, like, this evil person is stupid. And then my other concern is I thought at first, at the ending, it made it sound like he wanted to be good again because of his wife. But I think he went back just to piss Maggie off, didn't he? Or does he want her to try to kill him? Because I didn't quite get the whole point of that.
Well, I mean, that was interesting, definitely, at the ending where he gives his, like, usual meat and shit-eating grin at the end there. And you kind of wonder what this episode of, you know, character growth was all about. I'm really conflicted about this episode. So pretty much everyone on the internet thinks it was great, with some critics thinking it might be the best episode ever. It's certainly a lot of people think it's the best episode of the season, and some think it's the best episode ever of Walking Dead.
Why?
I mean, I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan's – I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan did great work in this episode, and I really think he has not been a great actor for much of his run as Negan because the material is terrible. And so he had some good material to work with. Hilary Burton was a big surprise to me. I've not seen much of her work because she does a kind of work. Like, I'm not going to watch One Tree Hill, and I didn't watch MTV. And, you know, I didn't know that she had any real chops as an actress. And she was very good.
So that is the same actress. She just changed her name when she got married to him, because I thought it was a different actress maybe than Hilary Burton. Like, I thought it was a different person,
yeah,
but I guess
no.
It's just her older because she's married to him now, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
like,
she
I knew
goes
it was
by Hilary Burton
wife,
Morgan. She goes by Hilary Burton Morgan now.
Yeah.
Right? I think it was well written, and I think it was well directed. So I think it was a good piece of television.
Yeah, it was
right?
A good episode.
I, like you, am not open to him as a sympathetic character the way other viewers are. Like, some viewers are really open to this redemptive arc, and I don't really think that any backstory, to me, justifies the Negan he became.
But frankly, at the end, how it turned him into the Negan he became, like, it makes no sense to me how that was a catalyst at all.
So the flashback does show that
overview.
The flashback
but...
does show that he was a violent person. I mean, you know, we see that at the time of, you know, as that flashback opens, he's on probation for beating a man almost to death because he talked while Negan was trying to listen to a song at a bar, right? Like, this very violent person was inside him.
Sure.
And he was cheating on Lucille with her best friend and didn't go mm-hmm. with her to the oncologist and lied so he could go, like, have sex with her friend while she was being diagnosed with cancer. Like, he's the Negan we know was in my opinion, the Negan we know was in there. And maybe his wife was keeping it together for him. Or, you know, I think he even says in the episode, like, the rules of society were, like, keeping him in line. And when civilization fell, like, that person came out, I guess, right?
Yeah, he said when he's red, there's no rules.
He
can do whatever he wants.
It doesn't justify any of what he became or what he did. And I am really sick of people online justifying what Negan did to Glenn is okay because Rick attacked first, right? I mean, making Maggie
watch
while
he... I don't think what Rick did
was
right either, but
no,
that doesn't
but it doesn't warrant
okay.
beating a man to death while his wife watches because Daryl tried to stand up, right? Like, it's an incredibly, like, he tortured her. And, yeah, it's a very, so I'm not as open to the Negan redemption as some other viewers have been. To me, there's just nothing that can make me like this character. Although the terrible writing of the last several seasons with him is hard for me to forget just because of one good episode where he's not a total clown, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a good written episode. I appreciated it as in it was nice to see, like I said before, I didn't mind seeing his backstory because he was more of a part of the show, you know what I mean? And it was something I don't want to say necessarily needed to see, but didn't mind seeing. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like everybody on the show has sad backstories, and it wasn't like that shocking of like a thing. It wasn't like he was tortured or, you know, something. I'm not saying that what happened to him wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. But
yes.
There's been worse that has happened to other characters, and the fact that we're supposed to forgive him for what he did. I don't know. The thing that I thought was the strangest is, I don't know, at the end I thought, well, it seems like maybe he's remembering the kind of person he used to be, and that maybe he could be more that person again, and not that forgives him for what he did. But he burnt or put his bat in the fire and stuff, and it seemed like maybe he wanted to be that person again. So I don't know. I thought at first he went to the group because he decided to apologize, or I don't know, decided to tell her he was leaving or she could hurt him, or I don't know, whatever myriad number of different things he could have done. But I mean, he went there. I feel like it made it think, it seemed like he was saying, Carol, I know it was all you that kicked me out. Nobody else cares. And so I'm going to stay. And then basically like, I don't give a shit what Maggie thinks. And that to me was confusing. And I don't know if it was just, we were supposed to be surprised or if it was bad writing, because to me, the whole ending of that episode led up to the opposite, and it just didn't make sense. It was like a complete 180 to me, the way he acted 5 seconds later. And I don't understand the reason. I like Carol's like, well, now she can kill you, and I don't got to feel bad. I did like that.
There are some problems there, right? So I think what Negan did, and so granted, these two guys who were trying to like take control of the medical convoy were bad guys, right? But Negan returns and kills them. Like, Negan leaves Laura and her father to be like, you know, I mean, he hears Laura's being attacked, raped, whatever, inside the RV.
But he goes to save his wife instead.
And he leaves. Well, and he comes back, you know, so she has ended it because Negan won't let her. And I disagree with you, like, what she did to him. Like, Negan was gone for 6 weeks. She was 6 weeks without chemo while Negan was on the road. We don't know how sick she was. We don't know how much pain she was in, right? Like, Negan, I think personally that it was very selfish of Negan to, like, demand that she continue to live when she's like, look, there's no way she was going to live. There's no way she was going to live, right?
I guess what I'm saying is I can see both sides. She wanted him to spend the rest of her life with her and stay,
which was
going to
be a couple weeks.
Right. What I'm saying is I can understand that he didn't want to give up. That didn't make it okay to leave. I was just saying if anybody – what hurt him was because of what she did. It wasn't that there was like this some big – bad thing.
I don't.
Does that make sense? Like, say not that it was necessarily wrong what she did, just it was what caused it.
So I don't really read that the same, that what hurt him was what she did. I mean, what hurt him was that she died alone, I think, because he insisted on leaving.
And he feels, as much as he is the way he is, I think he feels guilty for it, too.
I think he feels like he let her down once again. Like, he did nothing in his life but let her down,
she
kept saying, like, I see the man you can be, and time and time again. And so he comes back and he kills those guys because, like, they made him late and she died. But to me, she looked like she'd been dead more than 2 days because, you know, the Chiron says 2 or 3 days ago when they had him tied up, right? So he's with them only 2 or 3 days. To me, she looked like she was dead more than 2 to 3 days. And, like, he'd been gone for 6 weeks. So do we blame the guys who held him up for 2 days?
Yeah,
or
I didn't know
how long himself for being gone for 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize he had been gone so long since he went to get – I thought when he went to get it from that convoy or whatever, I thought that was supposed to have only been a couple of days when he left. When he left before, yes. But I thought the last bit when he left to get the medicine, I thought was only supposed to be the few days. I guess maybe that's why to me it seemed like a little different because I definitely took that different – But I probably misread what it said.
So he comes back and he kills them in a very violent fashion. And that's when he decides to save, you know, I forget the father's name. I don't know why I want to call him Gregory. I don't know if we ever knew his name. And the daughter is Laura. Did you recognize her? She's a savior. She was one of the saviors, and she now lives at Alexandria.
That's why she was familiar. Okay.
Yeah. So she becomes a savior. I guess Negan.
I wonder why her father doesn't, that we know of anyway.
Maybe he does, but he does. It's been 12 years, so he's certainly, you know, we now have a timeline on the show that it's been 12 years since civilization fell. So in the comic book, his wife dies, I don't want to say in the first day of the apocalypse, because that's not how it happens, right? But, in the comic, you know, on this show and in the comic books, the fall happens really quickly. And she dies in the hospital. She never gets out of the hospital. She dies in the very beginning in the hospital, and Negan's on his own for the rest of his origin story, which is not to say that her shadow doesn't loom over it, but she's not, a big character in the Negan origin story. This is what I concocted this for the show, and I think it's, it's a good story. It's nice to give her a role, and that's not how he gets the bat in the comic book either, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going to say the thing that really caused issues,
the jacket.
I'm not sure that if she had, first of all, I didn't realize, I guess the doctor had originally given her all the chemo medicine she needed, so supposedly she had everything if she had just stayed on that track. I don't believe that just because she had the medicine, he could have done all that, and she still would have survived, even if she got all the chemo medicine in the middle of the apocalypse. That's kind of bull.
Right.
What really caused the problem, though, was the fact that they decided to get high and turn off the generator. I mean, if he had just gone out and killed the dib zombie in the first place and left the generator running, it wouldn't have melted. There's always, those little things, and it's like, gee, that's what really caused it. They went and got high instead.
Yeah. Yeah, they decided to get high and turn off the generator. You're right. That's what caused the
And so I guess my point is that he loved her, and I get it hurt him, but and yes, he was selfish for leaving. I kind of understand he had a hard time giving up, but at the same time, what happened to him is no worse than what happened to anybody else, and it didn't give him a reason or an excuse to be the way he was. And if he's turning back to being violent
today,
I don't get it. Unless maybe he's taunting her to come kill him. That was my other thought.
He
maybe he thinks Maggie will kill him, but I don't think that's what his plan is either.
I don't think he is. By the way, I read today, so you know I like to read Eric Kane, and Forbes is one of the Walking Dead recappers I read. And I think it was Eric Kane, or it could have been Den of Geek, which I like. One of them said if Lucille would have killed herself sooner, probably a whole lot of people would have lived later. Like, she could have saved a lot of lives by dying sooner, because Negan wouldn't have become this murderous, horrible person.
But don't you kind of feel I think it's like you said, he was already in there. I think really anything bad could have brought it out, and even if she had died sooner, he could have still become him.
Yeah. So at the end, when he comes back, so I thought, you can read that a lot of ways. You can read it as though, a little bit of the old Negan is there, and he's daring Maggie to do something. You can read it, and I kind of read it like Negan being like, I didn't love the burning of the bat, because it was just a little too symbolic to me. Like, he goes and digs up Lucille, and I think you're supposed to think like the old vicious Negan is coming back, right? And then when he burns it and says goodbye to Lucille, it's a little too on the nose for me. I was like, gee, it's been 12 years and he's only just now coming to terms with, the loss of his wife. Okay, I get that maybe. So when he came back, at first I thought, he can't live in a cabin by himself forever because, he can't survive alone. Probably he'll die, right? But B, he just, I kind of thought, Negan's facing up to, what he's done, and he can't hide. He's got to learn. He wants to be a part of this society, and he's got to face up to it. And I thought maybe that's what was going on, and maybe he'll try to talk to Maggie. But then, when Carol says
that he made that smirk,
when it becomes clear, I think Carol's a problem because, I think we agree that Carol's been kind of, I don't know, I want to say she's been ruined. Carol's character has not been handled that well in the last one or two seasons.
Yeah.
And so for Carol to feel like any responsibility for Negan surprised me. Like, for her to be like, Negan, turns out that they didn't vote. Like, Carol just wanted to get him out of there because, like she feels responsible for him.
Was
and,
really,
and I feel like
I don't buy that.
I don't either, because I think she was just she really was using Negan. She was using any tool she could find to kill Alpha, and Negan was a tool to her, in my opinion. Right?
I feel like maybe she thought she owed him a little bit because he did it. Maybe that's why she did it. But I more thought that she got rid of him because she didn't want Maggie to be in pain. I think when he came back and she's like, I don't have to worry about you now, I almost feel that was more just like a smart after Mark. Well, like, I tried to make it better. You're the idiot that came back. You know, I'm not going to even deal with you anymore. I don't feel that she necessarily felt responsible for him. Like I said, maybe she felt like she owed him a bit, but I really thought she took him out there so Maggie wouldn't keep being upset. But I don't know. I mean, I really thought he came back to face up to it. Yeah, that was what I originally thought, because I could tell from what when he asked and she didn't answer him, I figured nobody ever voted that way. I think that she'd made a decision that for once actually maybe helped people and would have made life better, but she did it on her own. But I don't know. I thought he was going, like you said, maybe going to stand up for what he did and accept it or whatever. But the look that he gave Maggie makes me wonder, is it just we're supposed to think something different? I don't know. I mean, it almost to me could be like maybe they should just let Maggie do what she wants with him, give her the choice.
I thought
maybe he would have even been like, you know, you choose or something, but he didn't. He just gave her a smart ass.
It was kind of maybe my favorite line of the episode when Carol says, if you stay, Maggie will kill you. You know, that's just not my problem anymore. Whatever, it's on you. You decide. With this big sort of like backstory and like reforming of Negan's character over the last couple seasons, it's nice to have that character who reminds us what he did. Like, there's this character that can never forget. And, of course, she's been away a long time, so she hasn't watched the slow evolution of Negan like everybody else in Alexandria has. Seen him, oh, he likes kids. Oh, he grows tomatoes. Oh, he killed Alpha for us, right? Like, there's this – she hasn't seen any of that, but she never – I mean, it's not like she's going to, like – you know, on Fear the Walking Dead, Alicia – became friends with Charlie and looks out for Charlie, even though Charlie killed her brother. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, but Charlie wasn't evil. That's a little different. Charlie
was a kid. It doesn't matter. You don't become friends with someone who killed. She wasn't. Okay.
I agree. She wouldn't become friends with her, but I could see her forgiving her.
I don't know. She was like a 12-year-old person. She knew what she was doing. She wasn't. At any rate, I mean, we'll get into that some other time about those characters, but. We're not going to see that we'll never see that with Maggie, right? We'll never see Maggie be like, even though you killed my husband, like, I get it, and I'm going to be, you're not evil, I'll be friends with you. I like having Maggie to, like, remind the audience what horrible things this person has done.
Right.
I think Maggie will kill him. And then, so when he gives that little grin at the end, I wasn't really, like, I wasn't sure if he was, like, why would he egg Maggie on? Like, Carol says, she's going to kill you, and then he gives her his trademark Negan. Like, it wasn't a smile like, I'm trying to make nice with you and show you that I'm sorry. It was a smile like a defiant.
I can do whatever I
Negan,
want. Yeah.
Right? That shitting grin that Negan always had.
Yeah,
and,
like I said,
and
the only...
He was provoking.
Sorry. Yeah, the only thing that I can think, because like I said, to me, that grin completely goes against everything that happened in the episode.
Mm-hmm,
the only
mm-hmm.
thing to me that would make sense, but I don't think it's what they're doing, is I kind of wondered if maybe he's like, I deserve whatever Maggie dishes out. So he's like going to let her, you know what I mean? Like, I thought maybe he was going to go and be like, you know, Carol said I should stay away or whatever, but I think it should be up to you because of what I did type of thing. And like, maybe he's going to let her kill him or something. But I don't know, because it's just the way the show goes. I don't think that's where they're headed, but I don't know. To me, though, that smile just made the whole episode make no sense. Like, I was completely like, what was that about? Like, because if that made him bad again, then what was the point of the episode? And I feel at the same time, like, we've been saying all season, these episodes can't affect the next season. So that also makes me wonder, I don't think he's all of a sudden going to turn bad from what he was either, though. So I don't know.
Yeah, this has to be part of the plan. I don't think Negan is, like, going to let Maggie kill him just because I think if Negan – I could like, I could see maybe some scenario where Negan wants to spare Maggie any more pain, so he stays in the cabin or he goes away. But I don't think Negan is the kind of guy to be like, Maggie needs to, like, feel revenge, so I'll let her kill me. Like, that's just not... I just don't see that being Negan. I could see Negan going away to spare Maggie before I would see Negan being like, I do, like, could he be trying to provoke, could he be trying to provoke a confrontation just to get it resolved? Like, is it better to just get it out there and see what happens than to live, like keeping his head down for the next, like, he's worked kind of hard to be, he's not fully accepted by the society, but he's worked kind of hard to be allowed to sort of go about his business and have a place to live and have a job, and people don't really mess with him. They don't trust him, but they don't, like,
they don't
outwardly hate him, right?
Yeah, maybe he thinks they can hash it out, and which I don't think is going to happen, but, I mean, maybe he thinks, like, I can let her tell me how much she hates me, and then she'll feel better type of thing, which is not going to happen, but.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And there's only one more season, so any of them could die. Either of them could die, right? Like, there's only one more season. So, anyway, yeah, it was, I'm glad that you feel the same way I do. I saw so many people in, like, comment threads and so many, like, other writers who really, really loved it and thought it was the best. And while I think there was a lot to like in this episode in terms of a well-crafted piece of television, I'm so glad that you feel the same as I do, that I just can't except a redemption of Negan.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't even feel it. I mean, some shows, like, they do things when the character shouldn't be redeemed, but they do something that makes you feel bad for them, so you feel they should be redeemed. I guess my point is, it didn't even make me feel that bad for him. Like, yeah, I feel bad about what happened to his wife, but at the same time, this story is no worse than anything that's happened to half the people in the show, and they didn't turn into violent killers.
And let's not forget that Negan, okay, so Rick attacked first. Let's not forget that Negan, like, kept a harem of women who he coerced into sex to being his wife. He threatened to kill Dwight, and that's how he got Sherry to join the harem, right? He had all these women that chose to be his wives, but not really, because he threatened to kill all their husbands and boyfriends or whatever, right? Let's not forget that part, which is basically, like, and let's not forget how he would burn people with the iron to punish them, like Dwight and other people, right? And he forced Eugene to watch while he burns the doctor alive, right? Like, he did, like, he is, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry your wife died of cancer, but, and I'm sorry Rick attacked you, but he was a horrible person before Rick ever showed up.
Yeah, but this is, I just wanted to comment on that, though. I do think what Rick did was very bad, and I said before, you see it from the other side and realize
what Rick
that
did was stupid.
Maybe our people
what
aren't good. What Rick did was stupid
overcome.
Was bad. I don't think that it has anything to do with Negan one way or another. The reason why I think what Rick did wasn't fair either is because not everybody that was with Negan necessarily agreed with what Negan was doing. He came and attacked people when they were asleep. He killed
what
some of them
Rick
in their
was
sleep.
Stupid.
But that does
Rick,
not
Rick was
give
overconfident.
Negan a right to do what he did in any way.
Yeah. Well, and what Negan had been doing long before Rick ever came on the scene.
The
he'd
thing
been,
is, if,
been,
Rick,
like,
if he maybe killed Rick and said, this is for what you did to my people, then I feel like maybe he could be – not that that would make it okay still, but, I mean, I feel like if he had killed him, maybe that could be redeemed. But, like, to just go and, like, kill innocent people and hurt innocent people and all the other things he did, it just doesn't –
Yes. I
this
mean,
is not gonna happen.
Glenn and Abraham participated in the attack, whatever, but that whole thing was bad. And Negan's a horrible person. Negan, like, you know, was, I mean, those women did not consent, and he was for, you know, whatever. He did a lot of terrible things. He's not a, like,
I will just say,
like,
that it shows, well, and I don't want to say anything because I'm not going to spoil anything, but I was going to say, it shows, too, watching the two shows, how they're different in the way things that are, the writing handles things, which I may have more to say about later, but I can't say anything coming up. But I don't know. I just, he's not redeemable. I don't really care anymore. I mean, it was nice to see his backstory. And, hey, the guy's a great actor, and it was a good episode. But it's not going to make me suddenly fall in love with his character. It's just Negan's Negan.
Yeah.
It doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
And he obviously, it's like you said, I mean, he had to have that in him to begin with. Because I had forgotten how, like, he beat that guy. And so I'm like, that's right, because he beat him up, and he had no – his wife was upset because she couldn't hear the music. Like, that's not provocation to beat somebody up. So,
yeah, to spend 50 cents. And he said that it cost 50 cents. Like, and he made the guy – right? Then he beat the guy almost to death and took a dollar from him. Like, what? What? You did that for a dollar?
Like, that part I feel like was just a more of, like, over-the-top showing how crazy Negan is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that person was in there. So, yeah, I think it was, I mean, I think you're right. It was, you know, it was good. It's not going to make me like him. And like, for people who are, like, defending him, I think, are forgetting some of the other parts of his character that we can't, like, we've seen many, many people. Everybody on the show has lost someone. Carol's lost 4 children now. A lot of issues,
well,
and problems.
Well, 2 kind
of
kill, but that's another issue.
Well, I mean, so she had to. Well, no, one killed the other, right? Like 3 of her children were killed, and then one she had to kill. You're right.
That's true. She didn't kill.
And you know, everyone on the show has lost everything. Everyone's lost their wife. Everyone's lost their husband. Everyone's lost their children, and it's bad. And and like, it doesn't really excuse it. So anyway,
not at all. Yeah. So, but I think it was nice as an extra episode to get his backstory that we wouldn't have gotten. I mean,
yes.
I liked getting that. I did like the episode, but it wasn't like.
And you
this
saw
big
where
thing,
he got
like,
the leather jacket,
people apparently right now.
And you saw where he got Lucille. Things that don't really match with the comic, but they're fine. This is a different, you know.
Yeah, and the other thing is, the bat he named Lucille really had nothing to do with his wife either. It was that girl that gave it to him. I was surprised by that. I thought it was going to at least have something to do with his wife. Is it something to do with his wife in the comic or no?
No. In the comic, he picks it up along the way, much like he did kind of in this episode.
That's a different one. I see. All right. Well, that's it till we come back with season 11, which will be the final season.
Before you guys
move
on, I just want to interject real quick. I've been listening to you guys this whole time. And, you know, hearing you guys talk, most of the time I kind of tune you guys out and do my own thing while you're talking about Walking Dead. But I always hear enough. And I'm so glad I made the decision to stop watching this show. Because here you have a story, like, based on what I just heard you guys say, and I've read the comic. So I feel, I've always said, Negan is not a sympathetic character. He can never be redeemed, okay? But I feel like the comic did a much better job, based on what you guys say happened in the episode, of at least understanding what happened to Negan and how he snapped than this. This makes it sound like he was always an evil person, but society kept him in check. And the comic is the complete opposite. He was a loser. He was like Eugene. In the comic, and he snapped after the fact. I mean, you know, losing his wife was terrible and everything. And like you guys have said, a lot of people have lost shit and not turned evil. You know, certain things happen to certain people, and again, not redeemable. But I don't understand why this show continues to have something really good to draw off of, and then completely change it. Like, everything you guys told, I heard you guys saying about this episode, I mean, other than the fact that his wife died of cancer, you know, she had cancer and died, that sounds like the only part of the episode that actually is in line with the comic.
They want to surprise people.
Like,
they don't want comic readers to know.
Right, and
they probably
would have
done
that
a lot better if they'd followed the comic. In a
at
lot
least
of
more so,
I mean,
at least,
yeah.
Yeah, at least more so. Like, him being on probation wasn't in the comic. He was a high school gym teacher in the comic.
That was in it. That
you
was
know?
In it.
Yeah, that was
his
in
job.
It.
He was? Okay.
In the show, when he beats that guy up, he loses
his
job at the school. For, you know, because and then he sits home and plays video games all day, and his wife is like, what the hell? Like, I'm going to work all day. Like, get a damn job, right? There is some cheating thing to him.
The cheating part, that was in the... That's in the comics, you know.
If I'm correct, AJ, in the comic book, when it's the woman who breaks it off with Negan when they find out that the wife, that Lucille has cancer. In the show, Negan immediately breaks.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But go ahead, AJ. I interrupted you to clarify that. Complete your point there.
There was something else. And did I hear you guys correct saying that he buried, after breaking Lucille the bat, He buried it and burned it?
No, he burned it. He dug it up.
Rick had buried it when he vanquished Negan. He dug it up, and then he burned it in this episode. In this episode, he goes and digs it up, and then he burns it.
Oh, dear
God. Like, sorry, Lucille, that I couldn't take care of you. Yeah, I know.
In oh, that's awful.
Book,
you know why that's awful?
Yeah.
In the comics, Dwight had the bat. He gave it back to Negan when the whispers were happening, and in the comics, he breaks the bat over Beta's head, and then buries Lucille. In the comics, yeah, he breaks Lucille. It was like this huge moment. Like there's a full 2-page panel of Negan holding the broken bat, looking all sad. But when he buries the bat in the comics, he doesn't do it until later, and he buries the bat, and he's like, he's talking to himself, and he's like, I'm such an idiot. He goes, he's talking to his wife, and he's like, I can't believe how, saying stuff like, I can't believe how wrong, what I've become, and I honor you by naming a stupid baseball bat with barbed wire after you. What kind of asshole am I?
Well, see, part of that was sort of in there when he threw it in the, because he threw it in a fireplace is what he did. So I can see you saying that, like, there were tiny bits, I guess, from the comic, but not enough
but
overall, I guess.
In this episode, he breaks it hitting a walker. He digs it up, and then he breaks it hitting a walker.
Oh, that's so, see, and this is why I'm glad I stopped watching the show, because there's certain, I'm all for changing things up, but there are always certain iconic things in anything. When you adapt something else, when you do a remake or a reboot or whatever the case is, there's certain iconic things you know the fans are going to want. You want to change it up and kill this person this way or do this with that, but there's iconic things. You know, Glenn's death, for one, is iconic. They screw that up by adding Abraham to it. There are certain things you know the fans are waiting for, and then when you don't do them, you're going to lose the fans. So I'm just glad I didn't watch.
Well,
I stopped watching the show.
For me, a piece that was missing from this, and granted, so I haven't read the comic in a while, and AJ, I read it as like the collected volume, when they put it in a publication. I didn't read it as a comic series, so I'm not sure how long it ran, but it went for like a long time, I think.
It was 8
episodes. Negan.
Yeah, it was,
sorry.
The Negan story was 8 episodes.
Once a month, right? Like if you're buying the comic, it's once a month.
Yeah.
So eight
yeah.
months. So if I recall correctly, a big part of Negan's, and we'll have to wrap this up shortly, but a big part of Negan's like development in the comic series is that like after his wife dies, also pretty much every friend he makes, in fact, he doesn't even really make friends with people because they all die. Like every person he takes up with dies, like some within a couple hours, some within a couple days. There's even a point where he tells, I think it's Dwight's group, he says, don't even tell me your name unless you're still alive after 3 days, and then I'll like get to know you because... And I think a big part of, like, a part of Negan's, like, descent into violence and everything is his, like, inability to really make a connection with anyone after his wife dies because they all keep dying. By the way, AJ, if you want to get really pissed off, there's a part of this episode where Negan won't kill zombies, where his wife is like, Negan, you've got to go outside and kill them.
Oh my God.
He's like, let me turn off the generator. And she's like, don't turn off the generator. Just kill the freaking zombies.
Just go kill.
Like,
and that's why I said if he killed the zombies, the generator would have stayed on. Her stuff wouldn't have melted. The ice wouldn't have melted.
That's actually,
her medicine would have been fine.
I don't know why they did it that way, but that's actually true to the comics because she's in the hospital. She's like at death's door. And in the comics, she actually... He sees what's happening, and
he won't put her down.
He goes to kill her. He goes to kill her, and he can't do it. Which I understand. I get that.
Yeah.
And he tells the doctor to do it. The doctor's like, "I ain't doing it." And then they end up getting attacked by zombies, and the doctor ends up dying because Negan wouldn't act.
and that's my question too. I wanted to ask you, Karen, before I forget. We've seen zombies catch on fire and be. Walk, dragged around and still alive.
Yeah.
My question is, my thought immediately, and I hope not, but my thought immediately, the fact that he didn't kill her and he just set the house on fire is, are we going to see her down the road? Did you think that at all, or is it just the way they did it? Cause I thought that was kind of
I didn't think we'll see her. I did think that we have seen burning zombies be ineffective. We've seen charred zombies trying to move. I mean, we've seen burned zombies die, but we've seen burned zombies try to move. Right? And it doesn't work. I think that it was just that Negan was incapable of putting his wife down, same as in the comic book when she's a zombie, he can't put her down. although we saw Negan in this episode couldn't put anybody down. And also, it was really within the first year of the apocalypse, and Negan and his wife had never left their house. And I think Negan maybe just didn't know enough about zombies to know that burning her wouldn't necessarily work.
Right, but he did do it either way to make it easier, because he tried to stab her.
Yes,
but,
yes, he did it to make it easier, and maybe he didn't know that it wouldn't, you know, the last thing she did, she left a note that says, please don't leave me like this. And I think,
yeah,
you know,
right,
I think
he may not
for
through.
Us, he might not have known that it wouldn't work. That, it might have worked.
Right.
We don't know. Some zombies, you know, anyway.
One quick comment I want to make, and you guys can move on. How long have they been in Alexandria now? I don't even know how many years. What season
right?
is it?
I mean, it's, well, this was season
what's the,
10.
What season is this? 10? Okay.
This season
10 one more.
Just ended,
right.
But AJ, we had a 5-year time jump, so it's been 12 years.
True. All right. Well, but I want to make a point real quick.
Yeah.
I remember back when they first got to Alexandria, which I think was like season 4.
Yeah.
And I remember every week, every single week, Jamie would say, God, I hope they don't stay in Alexandria too long. I'm getting kind of bored of Alexandria. I hope they don't stay here too long. They got to keep moving. And I internally laughed my ass off because I knew they were never leaving Alexandria.
Well,
the thing
you remember,
is, if it was
like,
a home, it'd be different, but it keeps getting destroyed and they're still there.
Well, we had a problem with those early seasons. Like season 2 was at Herschel's farm. It really was too long. Season 3 was the prison for really too long.
No. What was too long was the Sophia storyline. That was too long.
Yeah, that was too long.
But and they never left Alexandria. And now this will be the last season coming up, and so they will never maybe leave. I mean, some people leave Alexandria. Some people are getting a new show. Carol and Daryl are getting their own show.
Well, we don't know. The next show
anyway.
Could take place in Alexandria for all things.
Well, true, yeah. Yeah,
yeah right?
The last people in Alexandria.
Everybody else leave.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. They probably leave. Hmm.
All right,
anyway,
carry on.
The new season premieres in August. The season 11 will start in August, right? We get 8 episodes starting in August. It looks like they're going to break them into – it's a lot of episodes. It's like, is it 18 or 24? It's 20-some episodes, right? And we get 8 starting in August. And then maybe there'll be some kind of a break, and then
so they're
kind of
doing 2 seasons and calling it 1 season, right?
Yes,
sort of what they're doing. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many episodes it is, but it's a lot. It's a double season. I think it's like 24 episodes. I think it's like a double season.
That's definitely double season. Yeah.
And
everyone
I think
TV
we might get 3.
Used to be that long?
I think we might get 3 chunks of 8. It's like 2 seasons. It's a double season, so who knows? It could go for 2 years. How long is it going to take them to air 24 episodes? Knowing AMC, it'd take them like 11 years to run that many episodes.
Excuse me. Yeah, it could be.
So,
and they could all, and you know, not for nothing, just because they said it's ending doesn't mean they couldn't change their mind.
Well, if they thought they could make a buck, for sure, yeah.
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 All right. Well,
so,
I will say
anyhow.
One thing, and I don't, you know, can't go deep into it, but, you know, Fear the Walking Dead starts Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good premiere. A lot of shit happened. Very good second episode of the premiere. It's sort of all one long thing. And it was definitely much better than this. And it was good. So you know that I was on the phone, like, being like, oh, what the hell? Like, I was so mad at it. Like, I was throwing things in, or feel like throwing things. Not really throwing things. I wanted to throw things. But no, but, yeah. A lot goes down. It changes the show, and it's I think that is definitely doing better writing wise than the end of the season, at any rate.
Mm-hmm.
But
cool.
Yeah. So it's exciting.
All right. Great.
Well, why don't we move on? We have a lot to talk about.
Let's just do Wynonna, which is the other show that AJ doesn't watch, and then we can do the rest of the podcast with AJ joining in.
Okay, sounds good.
Shall we do that?
I'm trying to scan this. So this was the last episode that I had seen that kind of ties some stuff up. I feel like this episode took it to where it could have ended here, and I don't know because I haven't seen the finale, but I feel like this basically was the end, and then the finale is probably just the wedding. And
I think so, too. Although
go ahead.
kind of rushed. Last week and this week's episode to me feel kind of rushed, and I wish they had like a couple more episodes to play it out more. Like, because in this week's episode, the whole Dark Waverly, Dark Angel business, like, there wasn't enough to it for me to really understand it or appreciate it or for the emotional beats to me really play out. Like, I wish they would have let that be more of a thing. And some other stuff to me felt rushed. Like we had to spend like all those weeks in the Garden of Eden earlier, right? And now we get it all sort of wrapped
up.
There
wasn't enough payoff.
The pacing of this show has not been great these last back six to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And maybe that's why I didn't like the storyline so much. I thought the whole Dark Waverly thing was kind of dumb. And thinking about it, I think you might be right. I think it's just there wasn't enough. Because it seemed like it I don't want to say it had no point, but I mean, like, I feel like the only thing that happened with Waverly, like, the point was to fix some things and to, like, they needed a way to fix, like, they had to do something to fix the whole she doesn't want to go to Eden, so we'll wrap that up and then we'll make Doc human again. I feel like that was kind of the point of it. Like, I don't know. It just didn't really work for me. I feel like I didn't quite, not that I just want to say I didn't get it, but I didn't get the point of it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, there were some good things, but overall, yeah, I think maybe that is it. It just didn't get enough. Like, maybe there was more to the story that was planned, and they,
had to cut
it there. But
yeah.
So I think, because I mean, I think the more interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
Point of it either, and I had to think about it for a while, and I think the point was partly to justify bringing Jolene back. Like, they're like, let's bring Jolene back before the end, and so they had to make a story about that. And I guess they needed to, like, fix this fog and, like, why would Nicole business? And so they used the dark. And also they had the Doc thing. Like, how do you fix the Doc thing? Like, they had to give someone with ultimate power to fix Doc, right? Like, it just it had potential for a Waverly and Winona thing, and they blew it. Right.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, I mean, I think like the story had sort of in a way been leading here before, but it was like maybe they didn't have enough time to flesh it out. Because yeah, I feel like it was just there to I guess end other stories. I feel like, because I thought the more important part of the story and the more interesting part of the story was with Cleo and the fact that she transferred the curse onto Doc. And Doc was going to kill Winona, or Winona was going to have to kill Doc one way or the other. I think that was the more interesting part of the story, and the fact that she knew he wouldn't do it. The other part that I think is really important, and it isn't even, I'm looking at Sci-Fi's recap, they didn't even mention it, but the part that I thought was also important was that at some point, and I don't remember exactly what was said because I watched this quite a while ago, but Waverly made a point of saying that, I think it was Waverly, maybe it was Nicole, but made a point of saying that Doc couldn't have become human unless he was ready to become human. Like, he had to want to change.
I don't really know if that's really what happened there. But let's table Doc for a second and talk about Doc in a second, because there's so much there to talk about with Doc. Because I just want to talk a little bit more about Waverly. But this idea that Doc couldn't be changed unless he wanted to be changed, I'll agree with you that he wanted a change. I just don't know that this is the change Doc wanted.
Not necessarily. Like, I mean, I think it worked, but
I just think for a show that is, I mean, okay, so I think they wrote a terrible, terrible storyline with Doc becoming a vampire. It's never worked for me. It's never made any sense, and
no,
they need to undo it somehow. And I'm glad they undid it, and they need to undo it somehow. I just, for a show that is always careful about consent and about characters giving consent for sex or for magical things happening to them or for other kinds of things, and in this episode where they make a point of when Doc is going to bite Mercedes, he says, "I cannot do this without your consent." Consent and he bites her, and then we see Winona do something without Doc's consent. Like, do you believe it's possible that Doc, after living for 180 years, maybe Doc really is ready to die, and Winona's like, no, I won't allow it to happen, and Winona engineers something to happen which Doc hasn't said this is what he wants. And I know that she loves
right.
him, and Wynonna is driven by her own needs and not other people's needs. That
right.
is how she operates, but
although I also
like,
feel
is,
like you saying that maybe he was ready to die, though, I feel like in a way, I don't want to say it's the same thing, but it's sort of similar. Like, him being willing to let go and not have to live forever and become human,
mm-hmm.
I think, is also sort of the same thing.
Is he human? Do we know
ready
he's human?
To move on.
Do we know he's human,
yeah,
or
they,
he's just not a vampire?
Well, he's not a vampire. I kind of assumed he's human. But I think he lost his immortality before. That was why he became a vampire, right? Because he wanted to be immortal.
That's
again.
True, yeah.
I can't even
he
remember
became,
that. Where
he, you're right,
that.
You're right. You're right. He consented to become a vampire so that he
right.
could have a few more years. You're right. You're right about
right.
that.
Right. And I think Waverly's kind of like, Waverly did what Wynonna wanted, but I took it that she was saying, like, he had to also want it as well. Like, you're saying he didn't
okay.
consent to it, but I think the point is if he didn't, he would have died. That was how
right.
I took it.
Maybe I didn't understand that correctly.
I don't know. But again, I do feel like it like her whole transformation there, because I know it says in this recap there's a lot of transformations, and there is, it's true. But I feel like the whole storyline of her being an archangel, like the only point of that actually makes sense to me is the things that wrapped up. Because even like the Garden of Eden, she didn't want to sit on the throne. They didn't want to separate her from Nicole. So it's like, okay, well, Nicole will be your protector, and therefore you can take care of everybody and not actually be – like, it was just another way to do that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think it was good to get to show this side of Waverly because I think they've, like, teased it through the whole show. But, yeah, I think I kind of wonder if it would have been different if they'd had another season, because I think things got changed
yeah.
around a lot, I feel like, because they, you know, didn't get – whatever the time they had planned
yeah.
and everything.
I think they really get, and of course, last I heard, Emily, I can't say her name,
Andress,
the creator of the
Andress,
show,
yeah.
Andress, was still looking for a new home for this program. I don't know if they've given that up yet, but.
Right.
And
but
I
think they probably wrote the story as they might. I mean, I could be
yeah,
wrong,
cause
but
it
I think
might be,
they probably
it might be
wrote
the end.
Story to
yeah.
end it. Yeah.
I think what, I agree with you that that's probably what happened. It does feel rushed. And I think one thing that rushed also was, like, the way they used this dark Waverly thing to sort of move Wynonna and Waverly's relationship along in a way that didn't give it enough attention. Like Wynonna has always made Waverly her number one priority. And as recently as last week, she is, like, abandoned it. She's like, here, Rachel, who is, like, 17 and barely competent. And not that she's barely competent, but she's not skilled or trained. Hold this
right.
gun on Cleo, the major villain in the Clanton heir, while I go take care of Waverly, like, because Wynonna allows other people and innocent people to be in danger while she goes, always, she's got Waverly first, right? And then suddenly
mm-hmm.
this week, she makes a decision to put someone before Waverly, right? And she does save Rachel. It's a huge, huge moment in Wynonna's development and in bringing Wynonna to a close, bringing her, you know, to a point where we can end the show. And I feel like I would have liked to have seen that, maybe given a little more attention, the way she, just when Waverly appears to be in the greatest danger, like when she's going to lose Waverly forever, probably, if she goes to Eden, right? And we see Wynonna make a decision, an evolved and mature decision, right? And I just wish that we could have maybe examined that a little bit more. Because it's huge for her, I think.
Yeah,
right?
You mean, you said about her going to Eden. I thought you meant about
Waverly
staying with her and letting Nicole go. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying.
No, when Waverly was like she's like, I got to go after Waverly, became like the dark angel, and I've got to go save her. And then when Billy gets un-reaperized, and Billy's like, no, you've got to save Rachel. Rachel's innocent. And, like, Waverly,
oh, okay.
Don't go
yeah,
after Waverly.
Yeah, that makes more sense. I misunderstood what you're saying.
And Wynonna's yeah. like, no, Waverly. And he's like, Wynonna, like, she's an innocent person. And, like, Waverly, like, that ship has sailed. And, like, we'll figure that out and let Nicole handle that and whatever. And, like, we have seen Wynonna struggle, I think, in a lot. Like, the wedding has been really hard for her. Like, she's got to let Waverly go and let Nicole take care of Waverly, right? And that's been
yeah, but
really
now
hard for Wynonna.
Her protector or whatever, so maybe Wynonna can move on.
I know, but to see, like, so for Wynonna to be like, okay, Billy, you're right, let's go after Rachel, like, I think was kind of huge for Wynonna.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, like, if Waverly was to become a dark angel, like, maybe it should have been more than one episode, right? Like, this is, like,
right.
This is, like, also the culmination of her storyline as a half-angel, and like, right? Like, I didn't really love it. I didn't really like the costume. I didn't really like the way she acted. I didn't like the way they made her. Like, I'm like, wait, is she Waverly, or is Waverly gone now? Or is Waverly still inside there? Like, it was never really clear to me what this dark angel really was.
I guess the point is, too, I don't get why she became a dark angel other than we knew she was half angel. Like, what was her purpose of becoming dark? Was it just because Jolene pulled it out of her? Like, I feel like there should have been something more that was, like, she was aiming.
Well, they never explained
what
Jolene
after, I guess.
Pulled out of her, right? Like, when I saw Jolene pull it out of her last week, I
thought immediately
of the witches in that HBO show that we watch. You know, when they were torturing the witch in...
Discovery Witches, yeah.
No. Oh, did they pull it out of her also? Yes, in Discovery Witches and also in that thing on HBO, that the Golden Compass. What is that show called? His Art Materials. Where they torture the witch by pulling something out of her back. That's what I thought of, but they're pulling the... Anyway, it wasn't really explained, and I don't get why she had to be dark. Like, I would assume the protector of the Garden of Eden might not be a dark angel, but would be a...
Yeah, that's why I thought maybe she turned dark, because she refused to go to the Garden of Eden. That's where I was kind of confused, and where I feel like they didn't explain the point of why Waverly became a dark angel. Like, what was it that part of her needed or was after? Like, they just kind of ended it too quick, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you think about it too hard, it falls apart. But
it does, yeah.
Certain things they did, I liked. I did like that Mercedes became a vampire. I thought she was a vampire before. I somehow forgot
she was
she was
Bolsar's
not a vampire, but
wife.
Sort of.
She was a witch.
Right. Wasn't she a vampire?
She was
wife. She's a witch. She's a witch. That's it. But Mercedes, I think she works as a vampire. I liked that. I mean, she is a vampire.
I loved it. I loved it also. I would watch that show. I would watch, like, Angel
with
Mercedes being the vampire.
Yeah, Mercedes is awesome. Mm-hmm. So they kind of fixed that. But back to the one thing, though, we started talking about and we didn't, was about the fact that Doc and Wynonna were kind of going to be forced to kill, you know, one of them kill the other one. And they kind of found a way around it because she knew he wouldn't shoot her. But, I don't know. I think that part was...
Well, he
more...
did shoot her. He did try to shoot her. He did. I mean, he
right,
would shoot
but he...
her. But he had, like... You know, it's funny, like, do you think Waverly did that? Like, when Waverly saw Doc outside BBD and he had a vision that we never saw the vision, and Waverly says, you saw, Doc, what's going to happen, right? She's like, he saw what's happening. And so I wonder if Waverly, purposely, like, it turns out he used the wrong bullet, so the gun would backfire, right? So did he do that because Waverly showed him that he was going to shoot Wynonna? We don't know. Like, that's the kind of thing I'd like to maybe see resolve a little bit.
Yeah.
I think maybe
definitely.
Waverly, that's what Waverly showed him, that like, so that he would know to do that.
Yeah, I don't know, because it's not been clear, you know? Really, it's not been.
Yeah. Also, the whole Clanton business got really rushed, I think, at the end, right? Like, Clanton Air and Cleo's the Clanton Air, and Cleo, like... There was a time a couple episodes ago remember when Doc fell in love with her and he was like, don't sell yourself short, Cleo. You could be great. You don't have to do this. And like, Cleo has these moments where you think she might, like, be able to transcend, like, her family. And then she just, you know, is, like, doing these spells this week and being this, like, horrible person. And, you know, and then she, you know, she thinks she's going to make what, this idea that she doesn't know who the Clanton heir is, like, really, why would Wynonna be the Clanton heir? That makes no sense at all. Just because she's the Earp heir, she can't also be the Clanton heir. And then for Doc to be the Clanton heir also, I mean, it makes a little bit of sense, but not really, right? Like, Doc shot most of the Clantons, so I get it, but I kind of don't get it. And so here's the thing for next week. Do you think Billy became the Clanton? Billy was like, I'm going to become the Clanton heir so I can stop this. Do you think Billy became the Clanton heir?
I don't know. I was trying to think. What I remember is Waverly turning them all into birds or something at the end, didn't she? So I think
all the Reapers. She turned all the Reapers into birds, but not Billy, because Billy was unreapered. And Billy,
right, so I think
at the end,
alive now.
Billy went to Nedley and said, help me become the Clanton heir so I can stop Winona and Doc from having, like, I can stop this from happening. And so Billy became the Clanton heir, supposedly, and was like, I call on all the Reapers to cut the shit, right?
Right, but I thought, see, I got confused by the two because I thought, like, actually that he did that but didn't quite do it in time. Alexis talking.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll buy that, Jamie.
Now that you're saying
that,
yeah, I think that he was trying to stop it from happening, and maybe if he had gone through with it, they wouldn't have shot. But it ended up happening anyway, and I think now that Waverly, like, got rid of them, I don't think it necessarily matters. I feel like the curse is gone because all the Reapers got
maybe
I'm wrong, but
that's kind of how I took it.
So one more thing that's not resolved. I mean, I agree with you that I think we're pretty much, this felt like a season finale and next week is mostly wedding, which to me is like, I know for a lot of fans, this is the thing they've been waiting for. I'm not, you know, necessarily like, to me, Doc and Winona are the A couple. And those two, to me, are just a B couple just because they're supporting characters. But anyway, I think the other thing that's not resolved is...
Yeah, I hope Winona and Doc get together in the last episode. I'm more concerned with that.
Yes. And the other thing that's not resolved is Jeremy and his boyfriend, who has no memory, right? And is Jeremy, who's been really underutilized for this whole back six episode. Really the last, like, ever since they went
season.
To the garden, like, the whole season, Jeremy's been an afterthought.
Yeah.
It's really kind of sad. And are we going to see Jeremy get a happy ending? Like, is he going to become the boss of Black Badge? Is what's his boyfriend's name? Adam? Evan?
Oh, I don't remember.
Ian? Whatever his name is. Is he going to get his memory back?
I honestly don't remember.
That guy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know that they'll even go to that. I mean, they didn't even finish. And granted, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But I get the opinion from asking them and not getting any kind of an answer. I don't think they're going to, you know, do anything about Alice either. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they do plan to finish it in another way. I don't know. I will say, though, most shows, they will still put, like, some kind of problem that will happen in this episode, which will threaten what's going on, will probably happen. I'd rather have, and I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority, but I'd rather have, like, it be a happy ending and wrap up everything and not worry about creating more problems. Like, spend the time, you know, finding Alice, fixing Jeremy's boyfriend. Like, I would be fine with that. I don't know that that's what's going to happen because I just don't see that happening with this show. But, I honestly don't know. And hopefully they're going to find it another home. I know they've said they'd be interested in doing movies, but whether or not what they do, I don't know. I never quite understand how sci-fi works because I would think they'd be making money on this show because it's the highest rated show. But yet, somehow it doesn't make them the money, and I don't understand that.
Oh,
so
well, they don't.
It's not
this
like
show is very expensive
really
for them because of all the licensing. Like, they don't. The comic book company still owns the characters, so they got to pay them for rights. And Space has rights to the show because I think it was developed by Space Channel in Canada. So Sci-Fi's got to pay Space Channel for
that's
money.
That's true. They're not even
and,
the first channel. Well, you would think they could come
and
up with some kind of deal so they all made money, and then it could keep going if it's such a. Because it just seems like it's such a popular show, got this cult following, but yet it's not doing well. I don't know. That's just the thing that kind of – you're right. They don't own the show, and that makes a big difference. But I just never quite understand why they can't find ways to, like, co-air it or whatever, like, both air it and somehow make it work. But I don't know.
Yeah,
the numbers
on basic cable are not, you know, they can only charge so much for advertising, and this is not their highest rated show. Look, they couldn't make money on The Expanse either, right? They couldn't make money on every show we've liked on this channel.
That's true. I think Winona is what happens to a lot of shows. It's not necessarily that it's got a huge fan base. It's that the fan base it has is very strong, but it's still kind of niche, I guess. Like, you just don't realize
it's
huge. It's
not like a Walking Dead level of fan base. It's not like
Well, anything on sci-fi, I think, even if it's the hugest one on sci-fi, is still not going to be numbers-wise necessarily big.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
it
seems like they're losing their science
fiction
content.
I mean,
see.
You know, it was enough for The Expanse to jump to another channel. Now, granted, Winona jumped once, right? So we'll see.
What do you mean?
I doubt it. Well, Winona was a product of Space at first, right? And they sold us a sci-fi. Like,
oh,
I think
it?
They might have.
I,
like,
didn't realize that.
I don't know. I think Space developed it. It might have aired. I don't know what Space channel how they're involved, but they started it, I think.
I don't know,
really,
but
sure,
I think they
but
get
I know
a lot
sci-fi
more
has to
sci-fi
pay
than
them.
We do. I don't know.
They have some rights, yeah. At any rate, I agree with you that this episode really felt like the end, and I could be kind of okay. Like, we know that the Ghost River Triangle, like, Purgatory is now going to become, like, a free zone. Like, demons and humans will live freely together,
mm-hmm.
And the sheriff
will
protect them all. Nicole will protect them all and allow it all to happen.
And police it.
Black Badge, is not defeated, but they are subjugated for a while. Like, Black Badge definitely...
Yeah, they're not needed right now.
Well, and they have to back off.
Like,
they've been defeated.
Yeah.
They've been defeated soundly. Winona and Doc look like...
I don't know if it's that all Black Badge is bad. I think it's that the ones running Black Badge right now are not good. Because I feel like Black Badge could have been okay. It's more...
Well, they used to be kind of good during the Dolls era. But obviously, Jeremy has...
That's what I mean. It depends who's ahead of it is.
Obviously, Jeremy has bosses who are the people who ordered Black Badge to... kill everyone and bring in the demons and humans as food. Like, just because Jeremy, and that was interesting that Jeremy, like, sicked the werewolf on that guy and killed him, but Jeremy is not the boss of Black Badge right
now.
No,
but maybe he'll become.
So,
that would work.
Yeah, but Black Badge, at least now, is backing off for a while. Has been
at least Black Badge as we know it.
So I think it's a good place to, and it leaves it open for Black Badge to come back and for good demon and human stories and Nicole trying to be the sheriff and, you know, and all of our, well, two of our couples are happy, our third couple, maybe not.
I'm more concerned with Doc and Winona being happy. Sorry.
I
know all the way hot people may not agree with me, but I mean, I want them to be happy too, but that's not.
There's not
shift,
our favorite
so.
Couple. There's some people's favorite couple.
Right.
They're just, I mean, I like them. I want them to be happy. They're awfully, I mean, I agree with Winona that.
Yeah,
they,
they're cute.
Could they,
or not.
Could they stop
I'd
being so cute? I want to puke mostly when I see them because they're like so sugary sweet, right? I just want to, Anyway, I think you're right. Next week we'll get the wedding. There'll be a few bumps along the road. And it'll be a fun ending.
I haven't seen any of it, so I haven't the slightest clue, but that's my prediction.
Yeah, like this week is the season finale, and then next week will
be the series
finale, right?
Well, I think
which will be a little different.
This one coming up is the series finale, right?
That's what I mean,
The one
I mean,
Friday.
Like this one had a real feeling of a season finale.
Oh, I thought you meant the one coming
week,
up, right.
Yeah, and then maybe next week will give us more of a feeling of being a series finale in a way, right?
Right. I just mean it's
we'll
not
see.
Next week. You're saying next week, and so I'm getting confused.
Oh, well, the
Friday.
Next episode. I mean the next episode.
Right. All right.
Good.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Done with Winona. So what next?
We're
going to do Resident Alien real quick?
Sure.
I'm trying to remember what even happened.
Can I go first? Because... I usually, I'm the least liker of the show, and
this
I liked
one was
this episode
not funny.
Pretty much.
Right,
I thought it was very
comedy.
Funny. I thought this episode was very funny. To me, it was one
it
of
was
the
funny,
funniest
but it didn't
episodes.
Have the silly funny, I felt like.
Oh, my
I
God.
Know.
I thought this was one of the, because it was more intelligent funny to me than a lot of it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It had a few things I didn't like, but in general, I thought it was funny and laid out some good mystery for next season. And I loved the way they used music in this episode, and I thought it was really good. I think the last few have been, to me, much better. The show is really
I agree.
Funny. And I liked it, yeah. You agree with me, AJ, that it's gotten better?
Yeah, I agree.
Here in the back?
I agree the back half was definitely better. It didn't grow on me because I already liked it, but the back half was definitely better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they involved most of the characters in good developments in their storylines. Darcy is like a revelation in the last three episodes, right? Like Darcy has gone from not just a like a bad character and a joke, but a bad, like a person that I just feel like, how can they keep writing this person in this way? And she has really, to me, turned around as an interesting character. I was a little worried about Harry and Asta for a minute when I was like, wait, he's not saying he's in love with her, is he? Because I can't tolerate this. And then it was friendshipy kind of a love.
No,
I liked that. The children, those two kids, man, I want to watch a whole channel with just shows of those two kids. They're amazing, the way they write those two kids and their acting. I love them. And I like, finally, they have fixed the sheriff and the deputy. And I feel like they've retained some of that tension and personality of each of them, but put it in a direction that is less painful and distasteful for me to watch.
Well, here's my question for you, Karen.
Go ahead.
This is the most important question. How do you feel about the mayor's family now?
Oh my God, that was one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, that part was funny.
I mean, I still think that he's a doofy. I mean, he's still a terrible mayor, and he might continue to be a terrible character. But they had this moment.
But
of
he
like,
saved his family. Yeah.
Well, I just love how they wrote it. How they became these like tiger parent attacker. Like they went to survival mode. I love the music that they played while they were like beating the crap out of these people.
Poor
you know,
bad moment.
They tend to paper over the violence on the show. Like it was incredibly violent, and yet we saw very little actual. When Bad Mulder and Scully stood up and walked out, they weren't really that injured. Yet there was a lot of blood everywhere. Like it was, it's comedic violence. It was fine with me, really.
I like that.
Like Mr. Oatmilk guy found his inner like protector of his family, right? I love that part, and I love that Bad Scully like. I don't know. She underestimates everyone, right? I love that she took a beat down because she's so horrible. Yeah, I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the mayor will continue to be will be changed as a character, but I loved that. That was a highlight of the episode for me. It was really well done. AJ baited me with that. What did you?
I've got to say. First off, I've got to say, the opening scene with Harry. You know, we're watching the scene, and Artie says, I thought we see him as an alien in the reflection in the mirror. I said, that's the real Harry. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
The wife didn't kill the other doctor. Harry did it for some reason, which I don't know how we're ever going to find out why Harry did it, unless he was in cahoots with the wife to do it. But here's the best part. Here is the absolute best part of the whole thing. After the first episode, Artie made a joke. He said, wouldn't it be funny if the real Harry is the killer and then alien Harry solves the murder and realizes that the real Harry did it. And I was like, that won't make sense because it's a funny scenario. But that can't happen because then he's now pretending to be a murderer. I was like, and then when that episode aired and it revealed that, I looked at Artie and I said, son of a bitch. And Artie goes, I said, good call, Artie. He goes, he was just joking. Like it was a joke. You know, like he wasn't like seriously saying it, but it turned out to be true.
But it turned out to be true, yeah. I like that they did that because I feel like, it was interesting and a surprise to find out what really happened. But I feel like that we talk about not being able to redeem characters. And we've said from the beginning that you want to like Harry, but it's sad because he wants to kill everybody. He killed this guy. And I feel like I like that they did that because it makes it a little bit less bad that he murdered this guy, because at least you feel like, well, this guy had it. I mean, not that it's okay he murdered him, but at least this guy had him have it coming to him. And this was like not a good
yes
guy,
and no,
you know,
yes and no, because he killed him for reasons other than exacting revenge or something, because he didn't kill him because he had no idea that he did this horrible thing.
Right, right.
But
the guy he killed
Harry does say, in his opening monologue, he does say, you know, that humans have this thing called karma. So
yeah,
that kind of tied it in nicely. But for me, mm-hmm. next season, I think the only thing that makes sense, because the wife didn't really argue that much when she was arrested. She's like,
yeah,
I don't
that
know what you're talking about. I didn't get... So the fact that she didn't really argue, unless they just wrote it that way so we didn't see the finale coming, I feel like she has to be in cahoots. They had to be in cahoots, because otherwise we will never, ever learn the why. And you can't have
a
murderer on TV out the why.
I
understand that. We can speculate all we want, but how do we actually get the answer? You need an answer. You know, this is one of those questions that you have to have an answer to. You can't just sweep it under the rug and be like, it really doesn't matter why he did it. Because it's the type of show where it does matter. So you can't sweep this one of the... So that's why I say, somebody, if it wasn't the wife, somebody else has to know that he did it and why. What else happened?
Why she didn't fight it. But yeah, I mean, but I don't know, maybe
speaking
he
of
wanted to be the doctor. I mean,
But speaking of murdering people.
Maybe he was
people,
having an affair with her.
So speaking of murdering people, that scene with Darcy when, you know, she's like, this, you know, the whole, bit, you know, her bringing the cops there for the dead body and everything, and Harry answering the door, and she's like, wait. And they're like, well, Darcy, you know, were you a little high at the time? Well, or drunk or something. And she's like, oh, well, yeah, you know. But the best part about it was when she's talking to Asta, and she says, listen, I need to talk to you. I know you and Harry murdered a guy. It happens.
She's like, I can get over that.
Yeah.
The best twist with Darcy is she ends up letting them off the hook because Jane tells her that Asta's her mother, and Darcy thinks that's the secret that Asta's been keeping. So I like the way that kind of works itself. And then the scene where they run Jimmy's truck down the street was priceless.
I forgot about that. There was some funny moments.
That was so great.
Well, and I love the way that is like Darcy's version of like health issues with her parents and her pain and like to make her feel better, right? I mean, it did work. I like that it wasn't just like her telling her father off and being like, never touch Asta again, but then also let's wreck his car. Like, yeah, I love Darcy's style justice.
What surprised me is that her father seemed interested in talking to her, though, and he's supposed to be such a bad guy. Like, I don't know why that kind of...
Yeah, but Jimmy's a terrible person. He wanted nothing to do with her. He was caught off guard and didn't know what to do. But what I kind of like... We know the history, so we really don't need to hear it again. So I guess I felt that it was implied that Darcy kind of gave Jane some background information. Because when she says to Jimmy, she's like, if you ever touch that, go near Asta again, I'll kill you. I actually says, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, she does.
So I feel like that's, you know, that, I feel like Darcy gave her some background, and that maybe next season we'll see Jay and Asta maybe kind of get some reconciliation going. Because maybe I feel like Darcy being the outside party kind of helped Jay understand a little bit why Asta gave her up, you know, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there'll be a lot more with that next season. And have you got finally a pizza place in town? And it saved everybody. It saved everyone. I can't kill everyone on an empty stomach, so he had to go get pizza. And then after he gets the pizza, then he just started making excuses. He's like, "Why?"
Well,
you know.
I love that, and we have talked many times about when we talk about the size of this town, we're like, wait a minute, this town is very small. There's not even a pizza place. Like, that's a touchstone for us when we talk about the show. I love that they got a pizza place, although
kind of
I almost texted
joke.
You guys when I watched it because that pizza looked so horrible, and I wanted to
see, really,
like, is
that look
how
that
they
good.
Eat pizza in Colorado? Like, is it have, like, a basically really thick, uncooked crust, or is that, like, prop pizza made
out
of styrofoam?
And then he tried feeding it to the baby and that woman.
Yeah,
you're right. That pizza did not look good. Like, it was very droopy looking. I was not impressed with that pizza. Well, I mean, you know what? It's Colorado. I mean, if it had been a New York pizza, it would be a different story.
Yeah, of course.
They're just happy they got a pizza place, even if it's not good pizza, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about the whole, like, this idea that Harry killed the original town doctor, whose name I forget, is a really interesting thing. And I wondered, was Harry having an affair with the wife? And did he kill the guy on her? And is that why she didn't really give up a fight? Like,
see,
maybe she was part knows about it, but they were in on it together. I thought
I kind of felt that way, Karen. But if you remember when she was arrested, part of the reason the sheriff arrested her, he was like, "You've been talking to so and so," and she's like, "Oh, that was after he was dead." He's like, "Oh, according to your phone records, you've been talking to this guy for months." So she was having an affair, just not with Harry, unless she's having an affair with Harry also. I don't know.
I mean, she could have been, right?
What I thought was that you meant she was having an affair with the original Harry, but the thing is, if that's the case, why would she never interact with Harry?
Well, that's
to know
that's the thing
him.
Also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, could she have paid original Harry also to do it?
Yes.
Is a possibility.
That's what I'm saying. I think they were definitely in cahoots.
Because original Harry is from New York, and he's well off to have a cabin, but he's maybe not rich, right? And he's got this wife who is an artist, and maybe doesn't make that much money or whatever. Like, maybe she paid him. Like, the only reason I can think of right now why original Harry would do it is that they're in on it together. Because original Harry's only a part-time resident of the town, even, right? He's not
right.
even
well,
really
that maybe
a part-
he wanted
Nobody
the
knew.
Doctor's job, though.
Because yeah, but the only
doctor,
reason Harry...
The
only reason Harry's still there is because the real Harry was killed and alien Harry took over.
Yeah, but if the real Harry hadn't been killed, that real Harry would have still became the town doctor when the other one
died.
No,
that
died.
Real Harry would have gone
maybe...
home. No, the real Harry would have gone home. The only reason he's still there is because he was killed.
Well, because you're
because
assuming he would have went home to his wife. We don't necessarily know. Well, I guess, yeah, because they weren't fighting at that point or anything.
Yeah, they came
Well, because his wife... Yeah, go ahead.
They came and asked him to be the new town doctor, and nobody knew him. Like, nobody in town knows him. He had, like, almost no relationship. So, right? Like, for him to have gone...
Yeah.
For him to have done that is very
there has to
strange
be more to,
to
it.
Me. Like, he... They didn't even know him when they asked him to be the doctor. So how he ended up into that little refrigerator, taking out the insulin and replacing it with botulinum is just, like... That's another thread I don't want to pull because it doesn't make sense because the guy had no connection. Nobody knew him at all. He had no connections in town. He basically was this guy that came to go fishing for like 1 month every twice a year, right, and then went home to New York. So why he would do it? Yeah, and I wonder if he, like, I don't know.
Who knows?
Know.
Maybe.
Like, did he do it while Harry was possessing him? Like, I don't really know. Like could alien Harry not know that he did it because he wasn't, I don't know. I'm
no,
really stretching here. I just
no,
can't
well,
think
he,
of
he's
that
not,
reason why
no.
it makes sense.
Well, no, I mean, we see that the same night that he killed him, with the same night that he injected the poison, he was killed by alien Harry.
Yeah, he just
like,
didn't see it
you
play
see
out.
Him come
okay,
home.
It's the same night. Okay.
Yeah.
So get it, and
sense.
I guess
there
that's
could
a
be,
big thing for
well,
next year.
While nobody else in town knows him, who's to say the two doctors didn't know each other and there's something, some kind of animosity going on there?
Yeah.
That maybe,
maybe
we find
he was
out about.
Dying, and he wanted his wife to get the insurance money, so he can't commit suicide. He wanted to be, oh, although it was ruled
yeah,
a suicide
yeah,
first, right?
But he was trying
ruled,
to save.
Ruled,
he tried to save himself. Nah, he tried
yeah.
to save himself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll get more
right.
of that next season.
Yeah.
We'll get more in that next season, so anyway.
So,
the only other thing I want to say real quick
so,
is
yeah.
you mentioned the sheriff and Liv. They are so much fun when they're getting along. Like, they, like, banter
mm-hmm.
back
yeah.
and forth together so great. I really like them that they're on the same page now. They are so much fun.
Me too.
I agree. We should talk about Evil Mully and Scully and Mulder. bad Scully, bad Mulder, because at the end we have a Linda Hamilton appearance, and you know there's this. So I think it's brilliant how the kids actually they're like, oh yeah, it's the town doctor, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
bad Scully makes the mistake. They kidnapped the wrong doctor. That was great. Gives Harry a chance, but at the end this guy's been kidnapped, and find out that bad Mulder is expendable and they're going to kill him, but fire that the bad guys take off and he's left in town. So I kind of like that, you know, I assume he's going to become a character in Patience and be around town.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to maybe rely on the citizens of Patience to help him to not be murdered by bad Scully. And he is obviously the far more intelligent and knowledgeable person when it comes to aliens. Like, he's the guy who figured out all this, like, ancient Aztec kind of stuff and whatever. Like, he's really knowledgeable. So I'm looking forward to him being a part of it. I'd say if I have a regret, it's that Linda Hamilton was used so sparingly, and I get it. She's, in sci-fi land, she's like a superstar. They're introducing her slowly. I mean, on the one hand, maybe they're introducing her slowly the way that Walking Dead show Jamie is introducing the French woman. I'm losing her.
Wait,
Julia
what?
Armand. You know how Julia Armand plays the big bad on Walking Dead World Beyond, and she was introduced so slowly and used so sparingly, even though she's like the biggest name actress and superstar on the show. And I felt a little bit similar the way Linda Hamilton was used.
But also might say they can't afford them, so they're not in that.
I think you're right. They probably can't afford her also. But I would like to see her become more of a more.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody would like to see her become more of a big character next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
It was a tease every time I saw her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All
right.
So,
well, it's been
you guys,
renewed,
I'm
so
converted.
We'll get more.
I think. You know, 6 or 8 episodes, I told you guys I was not going to watch the show next season, and now I'm going to watch the show next season.
That's good you stuck with it.
Yep.
And now Max is on his ship with him to annoy the crap out of him, right?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Like,
I love that kid.
Throw it away. Yeah.
Yeah. There's only one thing wrong with that. I wish both kids were stowed away, because that little girl is unbelievable.
She's awesome, too. Yeah. Yeah, she's awesome, too.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, you guys?
I think that's about
that's it
for that.
Okay.
Right.
Real quick, of course, the fact that Harry decided to save them. Now here,
not
Harry's in his ship.
Yeah.
Harry's in his ship. He's going to kill everybody. But because Asta and Max were threatened, he decided to save them. They were going to die if you blow up the planet, so why do you need to save them?
I know, right?
I know.
You're going to save them so they can blow up a minute later.
But that was pretty great. He's going to go home, and then, of course, of all the places for Max to go, run and hide, dumbass.
I know, right?
But there had to be a reason for Harry to come back next season.
That's true, too. He would have never came
right.
back.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's better than, like, I wasn't in love with the whole, like, am I still who I am, or am I partially human now? You've been infected. Like, when he's hallucinating, by the way, you know, I hated the part where he's hallucinating that he's talking to, like, dead Harry.
Yeah, that started to annoy me.
Yeah. And, you know, I was screaming. And when dead Harry's like, you're not you anymore, you're infected, you're partially human, and then later Harry's like, oh, I'm not fully me anymore. I don't really love the idea that it's the human body that's affecting him. I just really prefer the idea that meeting humans and getting to know them is what's affecting him.
Well, that may be the way he rationalizes it, too. Not necessarily that it's
right.
what's true.
You're right.
Yeah.
And getting to know these people is like changing him and making him a less murderous alien. I guess they'll come right back, though. I don't think we'll see any time on the alien planet. I think that Harry has to turn right around and bring Max right back home.
Now, what was it? Yeah. There was a point, wasn't there something in the episode, I don't know if it was he was talking to the dead him or something, that he was, like, saying he still loved his wife, and I thought, what? I remember saying that and thinking, why did they put that in? That was really stupid. Like, I hope they just forget about that. Because, like, he totally doesn't love his wife. He liked having sex with her. He loved her.
Well, I think that's where the conversation went, where he's like, I love her. And Dead Harry's like, you don't love her. And he's like, but I get this feeling. And he's like, that's not, like, love, and you don't really know what love is. And, like,
it was
I don't
coming
think,
from his body, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he really loved – she's horrible. She's absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
I think it was the sex and maybe just having a connection. And, I kind of liked that it turned out that, you know, he does say, like, oh, feeling that I get in my stomach, Asta, that's like you, right? That's the, like, it's the fear of losing his friend that really affects, like.
Yeah, I like that he's, like loves her, but, like, as a friend, definitely. But,
yeah. Yeah, it wasn't necessary to have the whole, like, I love my, yeah. The whole, you know me, I think pretty much every hallucination sequence can be done away with, and it's not needed.
Yep.
And it didn't make, like, total sense. I agree with you.
I just don't want to bring her back.
Nope.
All right. Well, should we move on now?
All right. Sure. Please.
Okay, so you want to do debris?
Yeah.
Sure.
If AJ agrees.
So,
yeah,
I think this episode was interesting. I had kind of guessed fairly, I don't want to say early on, but in the middle had kind of started wondering if maybe it wasn't that they were taking, you know, youth from people or whatever, but actually that the ones that were missing were the kids. I had kind of wondered that. So I thought that was an interesting twist. And I think it was sad. I mean, it was another one that had to do with emotions, but I don't think that necessarily – emotions didn't play the same part in this episode that they have in some of the others, but it did make it a more emotional episode. I don't know. My favorite thing about this episode is the fact that Brian told her the truth, and they're, like, discussing that they're being lied to. That's the takeaway that I get from the whole episode. But I think for, like, you know, an independent story, it was kind of cool. But we didn't really per se learn a whole lot still, which I know AJ's thrilled with. But, you know, yeah. I don't know. I think, though, whatever Maddox is after, the piece that helps with communication, I really think he's after it because it can help his kid. That's my guess.
I think so, too.
Absolutely.
I do, too.
Okay. Because I think – I'm trying to remember what exactly – we don't exactly know what's wrong with his kid, or do we? Because I can't remember, was he in an accident?
Not exactly.
Or is he autistic? I wasn't
sure. We don't
sure.
know.
Because that's,
we don't
that's
know. We don't know why.
Communicating, it made me think it's got to be to help him with his son because he can't talk to him. So.
Yeah, and beyond not talk, I mean, his son has some kind of clear, like, thing going on, whether it was from birth or whether he had an accident. I mean, I agree with you. I think they're really, like, setting this up as some shadowy, like, CIA thing that's going to turn out to be for his personal use. I totally agree with you. I think that's partly why we have seen, so it really has bothered me a little bit, because I think it's partly why we've seen so many pieces of debris be about restoring youth or changing someone's physiology. Like, we saw one that changes your physiology, changes, like, they began to breathe chlorine and not oxygen, right? Or restoring youth this week, or that they were able, there's a piece they were able to preserve people in stasis until they can find a cure, also the chlorine, right? And I just think that they've been kind of health-related lately.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love this main storyline because I thought it didn't really...
Debris of youth instead of fountain of youth.
Yes, the debris of youth. I thought it was a little too standalone, and it didn't really seem to offer any, like...
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I would have liked to have had
it didn't play into any comprehensive... I don't love that every... Like, they don't seem to be playing towards any real, like... There's no
pathology.
Real understanding of, like, these were all part of a spaceship, and yet they all seem to do something different, and there doesn't seem to be any sort of plan...
A rhyme
debris
or
the week is just
piece
all over
what?
The place, yeah. And this one really had no, it didn't have implications beyond, it was really standalone. Nobody was interested, nobody's trying to steal it, nobody wants anything, and it was very limited. Like, you can't be more than a few feet away or 20 or 30 or 40 feet away from that guy. It actually also reminded me, I don't know if you guys watch the old Twilight Zone very much, but there's an episode of the old Twilight Zone about older people who are in a nursing home, and they become young again. And it really reminded me of Jamie, you don't watch it much. AJ, I don't know if you have seen much of the old Twilight Zone. It's a classic episode I've seen multiple times of these old people in a nursing home, and they go out to play kick the can, and it makes them young again, and the one guy who won't play, he doesn't get young. And anyway, it brought that to me, but I felt like the storyline was really, and yeah, Jamie, it took a real backseat to, you know, as soon as Brian started to, like, confess to Vanola, which sort of came out of nowhere, like, we saw him feel a little guilty, but I feel like we've more than seen Brian be a loyal soldier, right? Yeah, I was surprised. AJ, I mean, did that surprise you also? And, like, they both came clean to each other, mostly, right?
Vanola did not surprise me at all. Ryan kind of surprised me, but I will say I don't care because I was happy that they did it, because I feel like now the story and the character development might get a little better, because honestly, I noticed in that scene when they're in the car confessing shit to each other, I guess I've always noticed it, but for some reason in that scene, I really noticed it. Vanola always looks sad. And Brian always looks like he'd rather be anywhere than where he currently is.
Yes, yes.
This is true.
You're so right. You're
they
so
have,
right.
They have very Kristen Stewart-like looks on their faces all the time.
Oh, my God. You're so right. You're so right. You should be a writer.
Ugh. I am.
I know you. I know you. I said that.
I know. But I like that they're kind of like comparing notes and knowing that each side is lying to each side, but also that their people are lying to them too.
I mean, we know that we can't get behind a lead couple. I mean, not a couple, but lead partners who don't trust each other. Like, one of the things that is so compelling about shows like The X-Files or Fringe are these, you know, it's our two main characters against the man, against the oppressive bureaucracy or whatever, right? And,
yeah, so
and maybe there's now
a
chance for them to become more interesting.
But I will say one thing that came about this episode that I feel really helped define Brian's character a little more. You know, when Phil was like, we can't trust anybody. You know, I can't trust my boss. You can't trust Maddox. And Brian's like, oh, but Maddox saved my life. So now I kind of understand Brian a little better, because that's a hang-up for him. He can't not trust Maddox because this is the – I don't know what he did specifically to save his life, but he did. So Brian can't betray him. He has that sense of honor to it because, you know, whatever it was that Maddox did to save his life, whether it was literal or figurative, you know, Brian's not going to turn against that. So at least now it makes a little more sense why Brian is so quick to just be a good soldier for Maddox.
So let me ask you about that. When Brian gave – somebody brought an injection and Brian gave himself this injection.
Oh, yeah, what was that about?
Oh, good. I didn't understand it either. I felt like I missed something.
Yeah, I forgot all about
that. I didn't understand
it
either.
I don't know if he's sick or something. I don't think we're supposed to understand it.
I thought I missed something. I think we weren't supposed to understand it. That was new. But then when he says that Maddox saved his life, I started to wonder if Maddox hooked him up with an experimental drug or even a
debris-based.
Is it a debris-based treatment, or is it just a treatment that he couldn't get? Like, I think that maybe he was exposed to something in Afghanistan or somewhere in his career, and that Maddox hooked him up, and like maybe it's not based in debris, but I think that to me, I was like, oh, maybe that's what he means, like when he saved his life. Oh, maybe it's the shot that he's taking in secret, which he totally tried to conceal.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm down with that.
Yeah. So it could be, it might not be about debris. I don't know if Brian even knows what it is that he's taking.
Well, We don't know how long debris's been around, so who the hell knows?
It's like kind of a long time, right? Because everybody's so nonchalant about it, but we really don't know. You're right.
Yeah.
Well,
so
at least they're on
Finola
the same
kept
page
a piece
now.
Of information. When Brian and Finola were sort of confessing to each other, she hasn't told anyone what that guy in the van said. Like the guy in the van who gave her that, whatever he gave her last week,
oh, right.
I can't remember,
yes.
Because it was so dumb. He said, sir, your father's not a clone. And she keeps it to herself, but she does say to Brian at some point, no, he's not a clone. And Brian's like, how do you know? And she's like, I just know. somehow, right?
Yeah. You notice, though, the one thing is she asked that woman, she's like, who is this guy? And she's like, you can trust him. And it's like, that's funny because you can't.
Yeah.
Obviously screwed her. So.
Yeah. And I thought her boss was kind of dumb because she's like, who is that guy? And her boss is like, nobody. Why do you ask? Oh, no reason. I just never seen him before. Oh, you can trust him. I'm like, wow, you're
like,
even if
you
acting really sketchy
him.
And you don't. Yeah. No,
yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
So I did think the Maddox part of the storyline was a little boring. So I just thought they spent too much time showing Maddox going from place to place and person to person. I mean, in the end, they showed blonde woman who we've seen before, but I feel like, I mean, that's one reason, I think, you guys, why it's likely to be his son, because they spent so much time
so
showing
much time.
Maddox going through all of his, like, I mean, it's been like 3 weeks now that we see Maddox going through all the stuff to try to deal a piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when his contact says, why do you want him? He's like, oh, no reason, don't worry about it. It's totally for his son.
Probably, yeah.
And I feel like no good can come from that, right? Like
probably not.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I guess that's about it for this week, huh?
Yeah.
We've manifested yet, but yeah, I think that's about it for that.
No,
no,
I mean,
she
for this week's episode. For
this
week
episode.
Of
yeah.
This week's episode of Debris. Yeah. So
yeah.
We still got manifest.
I think that's about it.
Right.
Okay.
Can we? So, Jamie, you did not watch season two. Did you watch season one?
Or
I know Jamie was a little behind.
I watched about half of season one.
And then you quickly caught up in the last couple of weeks, and you're jumping back in with us, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
So
I've seen more than one episode, though, so I got to be careful what I say.
I know, you suck.
I watched them all together. Well, I watched them all. I had to watch them, and now they're like blurring together. So I'm just gonna listen to what you guys think. You know.
All right. So this episode, the season premiere is pretty much just. The season premiere is just the Cuba stuff and the Costa Rica stuff, pretty much.
Okay. So it's all about him finding the tail fin.
And all about
yeah.
Michaela and Zeke saving that girl whose parents are keeping home.
Okay, this one is the one about that girl. Okay, that's what I was asking before. Yeah, that's what they get, and they find her, and they're all kind of having that shared shared calling in order to save the girl.
So having not watched the show for a year and a half, I mean, do you like it?
Yeah,
are you just
watching
it because you're covering it?
No, I really liked it. I want to go back and watch the rest I missed. I feel like I know enough. I think, I mean, I watched, like, you know, recap videos, and I actually read recaps of some of the episodes, and I got a lot of information from you with the stuff I was totally confused with. So,
right.
I mean, I think I know what's going on, okay, and I found it good. I will say this show does have, and this is kind of how all the shows are, it's still got a lot of, like we're complaining with Debris, it's still got a lot of, it's kind of like weekly story. But at least in the case of Manifest, it does more tie into everything else, or at least so far from what I've seen, it seems to.
Yeah. AJ,
yeah.
How did you like it as a premiere? Oh, I'm sorry, Jamie, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know if they got to their theory, to Ben's theory yet at this place, so I don't want to say anything about that.
If you talk about
what,
I'll say the theory in case we're talking about two different things.
Okay.
The first comment I want to make is for Karen. Did you recognize Angelina?
Oh, my God, it's Holly Taylor, and I did not recognize
yes, it
her
is.
In the beginning. I did not recognize her until she walked into the house at the end.
That's when I recognized her, too. When she was talking to Cal, that's when I recognized her. I was like, oh, my God, it's Paige.
I'm so excited. First of all, I'm a little worried because she's such a fantastic actress. She's going to blow the cast out of the water, which is maybe not even to denigrate them, but she's just so amazing. I'm so happy to see her back on TV.
So I think overall, I think it was a good premiere. When the show's off air, you know, you got to explain the, like, apparently since, like, it's been months since the finale, since the last, mm-hmm. you know, they're in Costa Rica on their honeymoon and, you know,
it was winter.
Ben is, when we last saw it was winter. Ben's working with Vance, trying to track down leads and stuff. But Michaela makes a comment about, you know, because they all have this massive calling, and Michaela makes a comment about how there hasn't really been anything major for months, and, you know, now all of a sudden, like, they've had small callings here and there, but nothing major, which I just, you know, unfortunately, I think that's a cheap TV way, you know, to explain the time that we obviously weren't seeing anything. I didn't really, I get the whole thing with the callings and everything, but I mean, unless I see something that there was a calling why they went to Costa Rica for their honeymoon, or if they were drawn to her because they were in Costa Rica, like the whole Costa Rica coincidence I thought was kind of silly. And then I thought it was pretty obvious that Ben, when they got on the plane, that Ben was going to be the one to pick them up, because Cal says Dad's bringing someone home. Meanwhile, Dad's nowhere near the girl. Michaela's with the girl. So why would Ben be bringing him home unless Ben was going to pick them up from Costa Rica? So I thought that whole thing was kind of obvious. And Sanjay, hey, she had a good episode. She didn't piss me off. She didn't do anything stupid. But now we have the major's kid looking for her mother. So I think that. Here's the funny thing about it. Here's the thing about that I immediately, I feel like there's an ulterior motive. I almost feel like her kid is involved, and yes, she's looking for her mother, but I feel like it's more than just, I can't find my mommy. I feel like that it's she's an agent or something, you know what I mean? Like, she's government herself, and they were like, hey, we haven't heard from your mother, and we need you to, you know, I feel like it's too simple for her to just be like, where's my mommy? Yes, I
didn't really think that. Go ahead.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, what I think Jamie's talking about is Ben is starting to get religion, thinking that they died on the plane and they were resurrected. Is that what you're talking about, Jamie?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I didn't say that.
Okay.
It wasn't revealed
at the end of the episode.
I think that's an interesting theory, you know, because obviously the plane's been in two places at once. Somebody mentioned something when we did the junket too that I hadn't even thought about like Final Destination. Like, because it would make sense, like, that maybe that's why they had so much time to, like, live and then died again or whatever, because they were supposed to die and they didn't. I thought that was kind of an interesting comparison, even though it's nothing like it. It's completely a different type of show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could make sense, but the fact that he says, like, the plane was, like, a lot, or I forget exactly what he says, like, the plane died, that part was a little weird because, you know, it's inanimate. And the way he explained, I knew what he meant, but the way he explained it was a little weird.
Yeah. So I liked this as a premiere. I liked the little time jump. I liked that we didn't have to go through a whole bunch of, you know, I liked that they bring us up to time has elapsed like it has for the rest of us. And we didn't have to go through a bunch of sort of like nothing happening to build to this point where Ben gets the tail, right? Like, we don't need to see months of Ben chasing the tail. I liked that. Thought Zeke was less annoying than usual. I really liked, I don't mean to, nothing against the actor, but I like seeing the character of Zeke in a more of a supporting and subordinate role to Michaela. And I like him, you know, he's a little bit more of a, I like him as more of a grace to Ben, is how Zeke is to Michaela right now. I like that better, because I just felt like his storyline was very muddying and confusing. And look, I just didn't like the character. So I liked a little bit of a time jump. I agree with you, AJ, that this show is very big on coincidence, and the utter coincidence of Michaela and Zeke being on vacation in Costa Rica, which is exactly where they're needed.
Where
and
they
like,
needed to be. Yeah.
Like, did she get the calling because she's there, or like all that? And so to say, like, if we're going to accept that coincidence, then we have to accept other coincidences in the show, including like other things about like the fact that the major's daughter walks into Michaela's precinct and says, like, well, I thought like this, you know, and she happens to bump into Jared, and Jared picks up the case, is a big kind of coincidence, because even if she's working with the government, I don't know. I just feel like it was a big coincidence. I do like the idea of Jared unwittingly taking up a case that he thinks is helping, and maybe he's actually working
with Michaela.
And it's
really going to cause problems. Yeah.
Well, nobody else knows. I appreciate
that Sonby killed her, though, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Nobody knows that.
Okay.
But nobody else knows. Appreciate the idea of let's build more tension between Jared and Michaela that is not romance-based. Like, they have to put that love triangle to bed, right? We just can't watch that anymore.
Right.
And so I like that they're looking for a different kind of conflict between them. I think this has potential as a storyline. But, AJ, you gave me something to think about with could the daughter be up to something. I what else did I like about this episode? I noticed that, okay, so it was nice to see that Cal has aged, but in, like, not – he's not like Tall Walt, who suddenly, you know, had to be put off the show. I like that was sort of –
Tall Walt.
I mean –
Well,
I
that
think
wasn't
the time
Tall
jump
Walt's fault.
Yeah. I think the time jump helps a little bit for us to accept, like, you know, Cal having aged since we last saw him. It doesn't pick up the day after he fell through the ice. He's a little bit older. He's not, like, hugely older.
I think his voice
kinda
changing
like
made him slightly less annoying, I feel like.
Yeah, you're right. But, so I do have a little bit of an issue with, like, the whole bit in Cuba. I kind of like that they said it in Cuba because it's a way for it to be off the radar, but I feel like even in Cuba, for the intelligence service to be on them in 5 minutes, you know how they're in the warehouse, they get the tail fin, they put on a truck, they're driving, and they have had an encounter with local police, but within like less than 30 minutes, how is Vance like, it's the Cuban intelligence service, they'll kill us, blah, blah, blah. Like that all felt very like expository and contrived a little bit, right? Especially Vance with his vast resources, like they knew they were going there because of a report of the tail being down there, and they seemed
to
not
other people
really
had
have
to
a plan.
Have had that report too. Is the other
well,
thing the government
not,
and everything had to have had it.
In the end, they seemed to not be prepared to remove that tail from Cuba, and I'm like, but you went there knowing you were looking for the tail. And you have zero plan to evacuate. It's all set up so that Vance can be. I got to tell you, I don't love the way Vance is in and out of the. Like, Vance was in the story, and then he's gone for a whole season, and then he's back, and now he's going to be gone again while he's kidnapped by the Cuban authorities, I guess. Or not kidnapped, but detained. I'm not really sure what value there is in that storyline. Except to take Vance away from Sanvi. He seems to be Sanvi's only support. And by the way, okay, my last thing. I'm sorry, but there's no way Sanvi just becomes a pediatrician. She has no experience as a clinical provider. She's like a genetic like research person. Like everything we've seen about her is some sort of really, really high level research person. And all of a sudden she's treating patients. And I'm sorry, but you like she's not trained for that. You have to do a residency. You have to pass certification exams and take your boards and all this. And for her to just be, although she did make a remark that she didn't she make a remark in this that she can't take insurance and that she's not really, like, she's working off the book some, like, I forget what she said, but she's not, like, a legit doc. I just thought it was crazy that she's suddenly, like, now she's a pediatrician. Like, every time we see Sanvi, she's one of these TV doctors that can do anything.
Well, maybe she originally went to school for that and changed her study.
Who knows?
Well, that would be crazy. But I was a little surprised to see him being a pediatrician. And I'm like, really? You have no qualifications whatsoever to be a pediatrician, except that you once examined Cal.
That's what I said. Like, if this was, like, the apocalypse on Walking Dead or something, they'll let a vet be a doctor because they have nobody. But her, it doesn't
right.
make sense.
But she, yeah. Yeah. She's a very annoying character, and I feel like we didn't really – I mean, I agree with you, AJ. She wasn't annoying this week, but she has great potential to be annoying in the future because we saw her break down. We saw her break down at the end. I mean, we're going to have a big story arc of her feeling guilty about killing the Major, right?
Yeah, and that's the whole – that's part of why I think it's going to play in with daughter, too, you know? So.
Yeah, and you're right. There's got to be consequences of what Zombie did, and so this is one way. Actually,
yeah.
I think I just ranted for like 10 minutes, but I actually thought it was a pretty good season premiere, and I liked that they...
yeah, I did too.
I liked it.
Yeah,
yeah,
my
problem
was a little
good.
Nitpicky.
Yeah, I thought I really kind of liked Olive, and even Grace was pretty good in this episode, the way they... react in the support.
Well,
like,
Grace was great because she was only in it for 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. And Olive was mostly like, let me open the file
Grace
door and get this
Ben's
out.
Grace is Ben's wife, right? Or am I mixing that up?
Yes.
Okay.
So apparently, I read an interview with Holly Taylor. Apparently, Grace and Angelina, no, Olive and Angelina are going to be friends and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw that coming. I was hoping for that because Olive is already the best character on the show, so you match her up with Holly Taylor and you got a tandem.
Now, who is this person from? I mean, what is she from that you guys know?
She was
her
in
from?
The Americans. The Americans.
Oh, okay.
She played the daughter on the. She played the.
She's the
daughter
in
the Americans.
She's an incredible young actress. She's,
really good actress.
She's amazing on the Americans. She's like an Emmy level actress, even when she was probably 14 on that show. She's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like that Olive is already one episode 100% back in the fold. Like, you know, Cal has the vision and everything, and there's Olive right with him going, all right, let's look at the wall of weird and figure this out. Like, she was right there with him instead of last season where they were kind of started leaving her out a little.
Is that his twin or just his sister that was older when he got back?
They're twins.
Okay, so
they're twins.
Well, she's older now.
For sure. Well, yeah,
they were twins when they got on the plane, but she's now 5 years older.
Well, technically, they are still twins.
And
they're
sick when they got on the plane, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're still twins, you're right.
Okay. Well, yeah, they're still twins. She's just older.
So about Ben's theory that they died and were resurrected, I mean, I think that's wrong because, first of all, there's no way the theory he espouses in episode one is what's going to happen by episode 10.
Absolutely
but
not.
Also, I think this show is not religiously oriented. Like, I think we've seen religion on the show. Like, remember we had the church, that guy had the church, and it turned out to be like he was a scam artist kind of and all that. And we already saw in this episode, like, this girl's parents were religiously motivated and it went bad.
Yeah.
I think it's an alternate universe thing.
So do I. I was just going to say, I think these are red herrings, and I think it's going to be some kind of something's going to happen with an alternate universe type thing. That was the first thing Artie and I were talking about when we got done watching it the other night, was an alternate universe. Because let's not forget also last season, that whole thing with the storm and the boat and the journal where the people that wrote the journal. The people that wrote the journals, like, they went through a wormhole, like, back in time, like, a kind of a Bermuda Triangle type thing. And then, like, you know, so there's the whole wormhole angle, too.
Yes. And then do you remember, I forgot that, AJ, but do you remember also that Olive and her boyfriend, TJ, were examining some story from Greece where they had the same thing where these guys were in a boat and they were missing and they saw lightning and all that stuff? Yeah.
Yep. And then when Ben, the whole thing was saving Olive and the fire and everything and, like, he was like, oh, glowing and shit.
Yeah. I think they really, the plane, they did crash and die in our universe, and somehow 828 from a different universe came through and landed 5 years later.
5 years later.
Like, I think they're really who they are, but they're from an alternate universe. Sort of like Fringe with the red universe and the blue universe.
Right.
Or maybe they went into a wormhole and out the other side, like skip part of it too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Possible. Yep.
Yeah, I'm just hoping for, I know it's not going to be perfect, but something cohesive, at least it makes sense. It's not, like I said, it's not going to be perfect, but I think something that at least makes enough sense that where we can be like, okay, you know, that works type of response.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. Episode one.
So, yeah, I got to say, I think sophomore season of two was kind of up and down, but I feel like we definitely had a very good start to season three. Oh, and the one thing, though, when the major's daughter first came in, she's talking to Michaela's partner there, and she's like, yeah, I can't give you any information. Why doesn't she at any point say, can I take a message?
I
call her and have her contact you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she just totally blew her off.
And I do think she could say she's on vacation. She won't be back for a couple weeks. Like, the idea that I can't give any information. Like, you can say, like, she's not around. She was back.
Yeah, she's
not
a secret government agent.
Like, you're a cop, and this person has a problem and is looking for help, and you're like, she's not here. You should say, but can I help you? Like, she knows Michaela's secret. She's part of the whole operation. Like, she should,
right.
I mean, not the operation, but she knows about the callings and whatever, and you'd think she'd be a little more open.
Yeah. I think part of it was that I get the feeling the past couple months has been a lot of people coming in asking for Michaela because of the 828 psychic, you know, and I think she just looked at her as another person. But she was very dismissive.
Come in.
Dismissive.
Well,
which was kind of out of character for her.
The 828 cop can help, but, like, I'm sorry, if you go into the police department, they should always take some information from you, right?
I also feel that character did those things that were out of character so that Jared could swoop in and be like, can I help? Excuse me.
Yep. Exactly, yep.
So. All right. Well, anything else?
That's it.
All right.
That's it. All right.
So we'll do it again next week, minus The Walking Dead.
Well, we'll have Fear next week, so.
Oh, okay. We'll have Fear next week. My bad.
Yeah.
I forgot. I forgot it just jumps right into the other one.
It's going to be a lot to talk
about
next week, too. So.
Yep.
All right.
So we'll have that. All right, kids.
People can watch the Manifest interviews. They are up.
Oh, they're up? Okay, cool. I want to watch them.
Yeah, they've been up.
Yep.
Alrighty. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Enjoy your weeks, ladies. And we'll do it again next week.
All right.
Good night.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.